I have given you what every Christian, I believe, who's known the Lord for any length of time already knows in his heart. That the real purpose of our lives, the real meaning, the real business, the real thing that we should be committed to, our resources, our time, our talents, everything that we are, the real business of God is the same business of Jesus Christ. And that's to tell a world about the Savior, that they may have eternal life and they may be resurrected at the last day. There's no more important issue in life. If the people that you are talking about, to whom you have ministered, are dying and go to hell, I ask you, what have we done in terms of the Father's business?
Happy New Year, and welcome to a new year of Bible teaching on Hope for Today with David Hawking. Today, David continues moving through the Gospel of Luke, and over the next couple of days, we're going to discover the significance of Jesus' upbringing in Nazareth. We'll also unravel the essence of wisdom and favor that young Jesus embodies. And we'll explore the intriguing episode at the temple, where Jesus reveals a deeper understanding of his divine purpose. Well, that and so much more coming your way next. And just before today's lesson, I want to remind you that you can always reach out to Hope for Today for prayer. If you've got a prayer need, call us at 800-75-BIBLE to share your prayer request. If you're in Canada, call us at 888-75-BIBLE. And if for any reason you can't get through, well, leave a short voicemail with your name and prayer request, and we will pray for you. And please remember to pray for us as well as we kick off the new year. It's much, much appreciated. Well, right now, turn to Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 39. And here's David with day one of the business of Jesus.
Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 39, we're going to read down to the end of the chapter. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Will you join me, please, in a moment of prayer? Father, I would ask that upon our hearts you would place by your Holy Spirit the business of Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, I know your Scripture tells us that that should be our business as well. Help us to understand it, Father. Help us to apply it. Help us to realize the seriousness about this matter. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we talk about the business of Jesus, When he made that classic statement, I must be about my father's business, we realize it's something his father wanted him to do. Literally, it simply says, the things of my father. And it comes to mean the business or the affairs, the things he wants me to do. According to Jesus, at age 12, he understood that there was a higher priority for his life that transcended everything else that his parents might have dreamed for him or wanted him to do. He said, there's one reason I'm here, and that's my father's business. Now, real quickly, I'd like to remind you of some things that Jesus said, just to lay that into our hearts, the father's business. For instance, in Luke 19:10, which we have said is the theme verse of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus gave an indication to us of what his father's business was all about when he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. In the Gospel of John, frequently the Lord Jesus refers to the Father sending him and the business that he had to do for his Father. In John chapter 4, verse 34, his disciples are asking him about the whole matter of his eating. It's the story of the Samaritan woman, and Jesus said to them these words in John 4:34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, according to Jesus, the Father has given him something to do, and he is totally controlled by the will of his heavenly Father. And he says, I've got to finish that work. That's my job. That's my business right there. Turn to John chapter 5, verse 30. Here Jesus makes another statement, just looking at the last part of that verse. He says, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus is very clear that he's not doing things out of his own volitional choice, that everything he is doing on earth in his life, he is doing because he's submitted to the will of God. He's doing what God wants him to do, God the Father. Now look at verse 36 of this same chapter. I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Everything Jesus was doing in his life bears witness to the fact that he was being controlled by a higher calling. The calling of his Father, the business of his Father, is what he is committed to do. Now turn to John chapter 6, verse 38. John 6, 38. And look down from verse 38 to 40, and this is a classic statement about what the Father's business is all about. And at 12 years old, Jesus knew and publicly stated that that was his commitment. That's why he came into the world. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You say, what's the Father's business? What is the will of the Father for Jesus that he says he's committed to? And the answer is that everyone who sees him and understands who he is and believes in him would have everlasting life and would experience one day a resurrection from the dead. That, he says, is his Father's business. That's why he came into the world, so that people would believe in him and would have everlasting life. Turn to John 8:29. It's amazing when you just take this thought of the Father's business and realizing what the Bible says about it, that it was constantly controlling everything Jesus Christ did and said in his life. In John 8:29, he says, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Always. In his whole life, from a young man to adulthood, he always did everything that was pleasing to God the Father, because he was totally committed to God the Father's will. He was going to do God's business. Turn to John chapter 12, please. Look at verse 49 and 50. John 12, 49 and 50. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Now, nothing could be more clear. Everything Jesus is doing, we read earlier, his works, and everything Jesus is saying, his words, all were under the direct control of the Heavenly Father. The Father's business was Jesus' business. Turn, please, to John 17. Here's the prayer of Christ. Beautiful prayer. In John 17, 1-4, in the initial words of that prayer, we once again have the same impact of Father's will, why the Father has sent me, what kind of business I'm involved with. Verse 1 says, "Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do.'" What a tremendous statement by our Lord Jesus Christ. He is totally committed to the will of the Father. He wants to glorify the Father through this, and the whole issue is to bring eternal life to as many people as possible. As many people as the Father had given him, he said, "We're going to give them eternal life. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." He came to seek and to save that which was lost. As I looked at that whole thing, I asked myself the question, if the business of Jesus Christ here on earth was truly, according to his words, to give eternal life to all those who would believe in him and he would raise them up at the last day, I asked myself the question, I wonder if the business of Jesus Christ, which he knew at age 12, obviously, I wonder if that is the same business that you and I are supposed to be engaged in. I'd like you to turn to John 17, if you're still there, and look at verse 18. I believe the Bible is very clear about this and that it could revolutionize a Christian's life if he really got a hold of it. It can be simply stated, but it is not necessarily easily applied. That the Father's business, the business of Jesus Christ, would become our number one business in our lives, because we're citizens of heaven, not of earth. In John 17, 18, Jesus said, "As you," praying to the Father, "as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." As, a word of simile, but also in this particular case, a word indicating equally. The Lord Jesus is saying, just as you sent me into the world, and the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to give eternal life to all who would believe in him. Just as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, his disciples. Now look at chapter 20, please. After his resurrection, in chapter 20 of John, and verse 21, he has this meeting with the disciples. Actually, it's the same day he arose from the dead, the first day of the week. It's later that evening. And in John 20, verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And then he gave them what they really needed in order to be sent properly and to accomplish that goal, and that was the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, Acts 1:8, they were told that they would be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and unto Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I have given you what every Christian, I believe, who's known the Lord for any length of time already knows in his heart. That the real purpose of our lives, the real meaning, the real business, the real thing that we should be committed to, our resources, our time, our talents, everything that we are, the real business of God is the same business of Jesus Christ. And that's to tell a world about the Savior that they may have eternal life and they may be resurrected at the last day. There's no more important issue in life. Though you are kind to everybody around you, though you are sweet and loving, and though you are a good person, and though you have an outstanding reputation and character, if the people that you are talking about to whom you have ministered are dying and go to hell, I ask you, what have we done in terms of the Father's business? I think it's a serious matter. Should all of your good character be yielded to the fact of having a credible base for witness that people may come to know the Lord, then praise God. But if we fall short of the Father's business, we simply are not doing what the Bible says. My money, my resources, my time, my character, the things that I do or don't do, how I raise my family, my kids, how I react to my wife, all of these issues must be subjected to and be forming the impact of the business of the Lord Jesus Christ, in my opinion. And I ask us all, do we really seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Is that really number one in our lives? Is the business of Jesus Christ truly our business? Because it's the Father's business. It's why He sent Him. And Jesus said, just like He sent Him, I'm sending you into the world. Now let's come back to Luke chapter 2. Having said that, I find in this story, which often is skipped over by the commentaries, they just kind of mention Jesus was 12 and had this deal with the teachers, and they don't say much and they move on. But it seems to me that if that is so, if we really take that so, I don't think there's any incidental remarks. And the fact that Luke gives information the other Gospels do not, I think is critical to our understanding what his plan is. A Gospel he wrote for the Gentile world to make sure they all understand what Jesus Christ really taught and said. And he brings out this unique statement at age 12 and emphasizes it. Look, there's probably many other things Jesus said. Why this one statement? The first words of Jesus Christ recorded in the Bible. And then we have probably 17, 18 years of silence. Nothing said. Didn't Jesus talk during that time? Of course. Why bring this out? Because it was crucial to Luke's argument to show why Jesus came. The key verse again, Luke 19:10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So he points out an incident at age 12 that fully represents that. I must be about my Father's business. And therefore, as I looked at this passage, there are three things that I would bring to your attention that maybe you can relate to your own heart and get some encouragement today and some understanding today about the Father's business. The first thing I notice in verses 39 and 40, two simple factual verses, is that the business of Jesus was rooted in His spiritual development. A simple point. It seems to me that our own commitment to the Father's business begins and is nurtured in our spiritual development. That one of the reasons why we are not committed to the Father's business, if that is in fact the case, that one of the reasons is because there has not been spiritual development and growth in our lives. Even in Jesus' example, we have that. He was the Son of God. He was perfect in every way. And yet, Luke chose to remind us that He is growing. Look at verse 40. The child grew and became strong in spirit. Look back to chapter 1, verse 80. Just so you don't believe that's so unusual you couldn't attain it, let me remind you the same thing was said of John the Baptist. Luke 1:80, so the child grew and became strong in spirit. The exact same thing is said of Jesus in Luke 2:40. He became strong in spirit. Secondly, it says he was filled with wisdom. And third, it says the grace of God was upon him. Now, when I look at that statement and see Jesus growing, I ask myself, am I growing in the same way? If the Father's business was really rooted in the spiritual development of Jesus Christ, as He's growing up, He is growing in strength inwardly, He's growing in wisdom, He's growing in God's grace, then maybe there's something there that Luke is bringing out that all of us need to understand. that spiritual commitment to the Father's business is rooted in spiritual development in our lives.
Well, that's Bible teacher and author David Hocking, and you're listening to Hope for Today. David's back in just a moment to offer some closing comments on what we've studied today, a little perspective and application. Stay tuned for that. First, here's David's son, Matt. Matt's going to tell us about this month's special Bible study package. Matt, what do you have for us?
As we begin another journey around the sun, really think about what your priorities are for this new year. And I'm not just talking about resolutions. Those are all wonderful goals, but above all else, we all need to prioritize obeying the Lord in 2024. All the resolutions in the world just can't compare to committing ourselves completely to the Lord. And that obedience changes our lives in ways we couldn't possibly imagine. Our January resource package is going to help us do just that with part 3 of our study in Jeremiah, which we're calling Warning of God's Judgment and God's Restoration. The priority of obedience is just one of the 16 DVD messages you'll get this month. You can order Warning of God's Judgment and God's Restoration Part 3 on DVD for $25. Again, get Part 3 of Warning of God's Judgment and God's Restoration on DVD for $25 this month. You can also add Parts 1 and 2 for $25 each in case you missed getting them the first time around. Order at davidhocking.org or when you call 1-800-75-BIBLE or in Canada 1-888-75-BIBLE.
Well, Matt, I also want to tell folks about a couple of other great resources from your dad. First, it's no secret that today's turbulent world events, well, the news just piles in on us, doesn't it? It's easy to become overwhelmed by the chaos. But the fact is, if we know Christ, we don't need to despair, do we? Instead, let's build our hope in Jesus Christ. And something to help you do that is a free copy of a tract that we have on our homepage called Hope for the Hopeless. This is written, Hope for the Hopeless was written with the sole purpose of offering a ray of hope, Bible-based hope, for everyone who needs it. And it's also a great way to encourage a friend or family member. So get your free copy of Hope for the Hopeless at davidhocking.org and share it with as many people as you like. Now let me quickly share one more thing with you if I can. If you've ever wondered if God really loves you, and I think we all have at some point, then you'll want to get a copy of Does God Truly Love Me by Richard A. Bennett. This powerful free resource is also available for download on our homepage, and it'll give you a clear biblical explanation on why you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God does love you, and he loves you more deeply than you might know, and he has a great plan for your life. Get Does God Truly Love Me at davidhocking.org. And you have your choice of a PDF format version or an MP3 audio file. Again, our web address, davidhocking.org, davidhocking.org. Now, if you believe that God has spoken to you about supporting Hope for Today financially, and you'd like to make a donation, you can do that by mail, writing to Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada at Box 15011, RPO 7 Oaks, Abbotsford, B.C., V2S 8P1. You can also donate by calling us at 875-BIBLE, 875-242-53, and in Canada, 888-75-BIBLE. And thanks so much for, well, joining with us in ministry. Once again, here's David.
Following all these exciting events of Jesus being born of a virgin and the wonderful situation surrounding that birth in Luke chapter 2 and the heavenly choir singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, and the shepherds glorifying and praising God, and Jesus being circumcised on the eighth day by Mary and Joseph and offering a special dedication for the purification rites, hearing the wonderful prophecies of Simeon and Anna. We have an interesting passage following all that, beginning with verse in your Bible, Luke chapter 2, verse 39, speaking about their return to Nazareth and how Jesus was growing. He was filled with wisdom, strong in spirit, the grace of God was on him. And then we're told about an event that would be like his bar mitzvah at 12 years old. His parents go up to Jerusalem to the Feast of Passover, and it was required of every Jewish male, 20 years old and above, to attend three feasts in Jerusalem, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, or Pesach, and Shavuot, and Sukkot. They're Hebrew names. Now, while they're there, Jesus, even though a young boy of 12, he's just absolutely amazing, the doctors of the law, and they're asking questions and discussing these matters, and actually, they almost forgot about Jesus and where he was and started headed back. When he was kind of confronted by his family, he made an interesting statement. Mary said to him that, "Your father and I, we've been crying over your absence." And he says, "Why are you seeking me? I have to be about my father's business." Plan to be with us for our next broadcast to hear more about this.
Thanks, David. And friend, if you'd like to listen again to today's broadcast or any of our recent programs, they're available for a limited time at davidhawking.org. Well, next time, more from the Gospel of Luke, and we'll see you then right here on Hope for Today.